What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki, wiki, wiki.
What's up?
No, that's not your line. You're not allowed to do that.
Wiki, wiki, wiki.
That's my line.
That was Will Smith's line in Wild Wild West.
Oh, Jesus. Like, he made up the wiki, wiki.
He made up the wiki, wiki.
Who made up the wiki, wiki? Well, you know who
we'll have to look at Wikipedia. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, though. We're actually talking to the wife and total freaking badass.
Did you just censor yourself?
Yeah, it's not like I ever say fucking that. All right. Joy Houston is a total badass. We talked to Travis Houston. This is the segue I was trying to make, is that Travis on his podcast really wanted to do the wiki wiki. Remember that?
That's true.
We let him. We gave him the honor.
Yeah.
But it's not his. It's not mine either. It's just whose is it?
It's Will Smith.
Doesn't matter.
Will Smith.
We're going to Wikipedia it later.
And we're going to talk to somebody who's wikied smart.
Oh, shit. We're on a good one right now. All right. Joy Houston is on the podcast today, and she's absolutely brilliant. And if you have listened to Travis Houston's episode, you'll notice that he's a systems maniac and has this whole process. Well, she does too.
Yeah.
So you'll be basically strap your ass in right now, because you're going to get a full, like, just blueprint on how to create the best copy, the best content, the best follow-up, whatever it might be, but digging into your best prospects' brains.
Yes. Travis and Joy have, like, two different brains, two different roles in the business, and they'll get into, like, you know, fisticuffs if they cross each other's line.
No, archery, actually.
Oh,
it's
archery,
it's
yeah.
It's crazy. I've seen it.
My money's on Joy.
me too.
No offense, Travis.
No. I just trust Joy with the archery. All right, carrying on. But... Yeah, no, it's really cool. She actually digs into customer, like, thinking deeper than I've ever heard explained before.
Mm-hmm.
And you will walk away with, I think, three, like, very in-depth models on how she does that.
Yeah.
And it's like at a deep level, and what's really cool is that this will not get old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tools and automations and things like that do change all the time. You got to keep up with it. But if you can master this shit, huge.
And her character diamond concept that we got into it's towards the end, so this is kind of like, once we're like 45-50 minutes in, she explains this concept of the character diamond, which you have got to stick around for, because that blew my mind. I started thinking of, like, every personal brand, every, like, big name brand I can think of, and I can see exactly how this character diamond is a big piece of their success.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to hear that. That's towards the end of the episode. She's got a great resource where you can get something for free, so make sure you stick around and listen all the way to that, because it will blow your mind.
And definitely make sure to go to the show notes, because we do take notes on this episode, as we do on other ones too, and trust me, it's going to be all lined out there for you too. And
the notes don't always come out the same day as the episode. They may be a little bit later,
maybe,
so
you can circle
back around.
Yeah, I saw Matt's eyes wandering, his analytical brain was like,
we should probably warn them that it may not be there on the day the episode gets live. I think that's a good thing to warn your audience.
It's a great thing.
Deceiving them a little bit.
I'm not. I just don't know our systems as much as you do.
Okay.
I'm going to be freaking honest. But I do know what works is our freaking traffic system. You like that segue? Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Evergreen Traffic Playbook. If I didn't bust your eardrums, I hope I didn't. I'm sorry. Tika, please lower that volume a little bit. The Evergreen Traffic Playbook is absolutely free. It's evergreenprofits.com/trafficbook. And that thing lines out exactly how we do our traffic retargeting and freaking all this crazy stuff that you've heard us talk about a million times.
If you listen to us and then you all of a sudden see us everywhere on Facebook and Google and people's blogs and everywhere, then
that would be everywhere.
This book explains how we did that.
So
evergreenprofits.com/trafficbook, evergreenprofits.com/trafficbook, no
that?
Dash between traffic and book, just evergreenprofits.com/trafficbook.
How fast can you say
evergreenprofits.com/trafficbook?
All right, that's enough. I'm over it. But go there. It's pretty awesome. All right, let's go over to
Joy Houston.
Hello, hello, Joy. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of threatened us because you have archery skills that are freaking, like, better than anyone I know. So you kind of threatened us with it.
Like... And then he's like, you're trending on Facebook. And I'm like, I thought it was a business thing. I'm like, oh, yay. And he's like, no, you're archery.
Yeah. That was one of the coolest. Man, no shit. Like, that was one of the coolest videos, because it was like slow-mo. Your son was there. And your buddy, I don't know his name.
So Joe's Walter, trying to tell you that you're only on the show because he's scared of you.
Yeah. Well, threatened by you, G. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I've been told I'm intimidating, but that brings a whole new like level.
There's sharp objects that fly really fast in the air accurately. No, that was really cool. And selfishly, I want to make one of the, like a little range in my yard. And it's like a good stress reliever.
You guys should come with us to the range in Balboa Park. Just bring your hot wife and let's go shooting. And, yeah,
she has a hot wife. You're right. You do have a hot wife. Yeah. So we had your loving husband on the show maybe 2 months ago. And so you're probably going to blow him away. So it's fine. I'm sure he'll love to hear that.
I was surprised he gave me credit for some things. I was like, oh, all right. He actually is a good credit where credit is due. You know,
totally.
Speaking on stage, he doesn't have to take the time to do that, you know. But I guess since I know you guys too, he was like, yeah. But I better fess up.
He's an honest man.
Totally. He's the best.
Yeah. Well, you guys have done, you individually. Well, I honestly don't know. I know you guys have both worked with amazing people. Big brands and just doing all sorts of stuff. But let's get into your story and kind of where this all kind of shaped up from and what you're doing now.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I'm a competitive. So I have like anxiety about giving a whole bunch of story because I feel all this like internal pressure to like deliver content for your people. Right.
It's okay.
I'll relax. I'll chill out. Yeah, I'll be a little more humanistic with you. It's a long story, but you discussed some of that with Travis, and the really short version is that I got into marketing by putting the cart before the horse. And that's a great way to fail. And if I fail, I like to fail forward fast, which is exactly what we did. So you spoke with Travis. He's the CEO of our Superfunnel, my fearless husband. And he told you that we sort of did this life gamble and we jumped out of the real estate business, right? At the crash time. It was really scary, right? And decided, well, hey, do we show our kids that you just stick with it and stuff you hate? Or do we tell them like, hey, if there's something really passionate and you think you can make a fucking difference in the world, you get your ass out there and you put it on the line and you do it. And that's what we did. So I don't know if you're aware of this, but Travis and I had big fertility problems getting pregnant with Maverick, our son Maverick, who's now 10. Thankfully, we got through it. But we got through that for me. I was the one who was having the challenges by using a raw food diet. And, you know, it was like, no, not going to happen for you. Not going to happen for you. Sorry, forget it. Maybe think about adoption, you know, these kind of things. And 3 months into a raw food diet, bam, no problem. Like pregnant, no problem, no timing, none of that crazy shit. So for me, I was like, wow, I am so passionate about this. How many other women are like crying in the back of their closet because they really want something so badly and they're feeling like a failure, their body's failing them, right? And maybe they feel like they're failing their husband too. So it just layers on all this icky crap, you know? Not to mention on that journey, I met so many other people who healed themselves of crazy shit from like just changing their diet. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go to Living Light Culinary Arts Institute and I'm going to build a course and I'm going to help people do this, right? So I was on a mission. And Travis loved marketing so much. He loved everything about it. He had always been following gurus and he finally was like, dude, I'm going to take every course I can get my hands on. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to do this. And we thought, great, right? So when you're great at marketing and I have this whole course bill, we'll be like chocolate and peanut butter and we'll smash them together and I'll be like so delicious. Like nobody could really... could resist that, right?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know anything about fucking marketing at the time, right? Well, I had no business building a course. I had no bills. What I should have been doing was building a community and then seeing what they need. That's what we guide through people through now. Like, don't go invest in time and money in building a course until you've had an iterative process with a live group and you know exactly what their hurdles are and you can refine them a few times before you finally put the course together. So we learned that all along the way. So I was doing Living Light Culinary Arts Institute and I was, you know, building this membership site backwards because this is all you guys have it so easy right now with like Kartra and ClickFunnels and lead pages, like everything's so fucking easy.
We're a little spoiled.
And back then, you didn't have that. I remember I had to build that course backwards because WordPress didn't even have the ability to move the posts into a different order. So if you wanted to build the course, you had to put the beginning at the
oh my god.
No, I remember that. And we used to build courses on like wishlist member, and that we had to do it that way. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I used too, the wishlist member plugin for WordPress. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So and you guys have been around that long. So I'm figuring out WordPress and, you know, Travis is learning everything he can from everybody. And so I'm filming this course and he's doing, you know, he sets me up with the film and the video because he did marketing and he also dove into video, sound, lighting, everything to make it perfect. So we thought, oh, we'll be this dream team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the course totally bombed because, like I said, we didn't know anything about building community at the time. But luckily, we had two plays going on. We were building this on one side, mm-hmm. and on the other side, Travis was using all the skills that he was learning to promote for Koenigs, Mike Koenigs.
Yep, he's a good friend of all of ours.
Yeah, we love him now. But at the time, we didn't know him. We didn't know any of those guys. Like all these big guys now that we used to look up to. Like now, we just kind of the shit. It's amazing. But Travis decided, I'm going to be an affiliate. I'm going to make this leaderboard, and it was for Main Street Marketing Machine. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So he ended up being number 9 on the leaderboard out of nowhere. I'm talking about big dudes on there. I think Frank Kern was maybe number 1 on that list. So it's like big dogs, right? Yeah. The big dogs in the marketing space were on this leaderboard for selling it. And he was number 9. This guy nobody heard of, nobody knew him, completely out of nowhere. And he was like, I got this. Because Mike's already got an audience. He's already got community. So we knew how we were screwing up on one side. But there was already a community around that. There was already community that wanted that. So that's when, you know, all these marketing courses and these people teach you, like, well, they work really well if you already know how to connect with people and you already have a community. So he put all of those things into play and bam, there he was on the leaderboard, just like he wanted. And then we got back into a good financial swing. That was the tipping point for us where we're like, oh my God, this is amazing and so fun. And we're both really competitive. So he dove more into marketing. I dove more into communication and copywriting and personality styles. And we decided, let's go ahead and push forward on the marketing side of things. And that's how we came to develop Launcher, and that grew into what he's doing now, Superfunnel. And so it all worked out great. You know, you learn everything you need to learn along the way. But along the way, you know, it was interesting that raw food course, you know, raw food is an amazing healing way to eat. But I also got really sick from it.
I heard that's a thing.
Yeah, I got really sick. So then there was this sort of psychological scare too of like, oh my gosh, like I don't even want to go back and try to promote that course with our new skills because I don't know if it's good for you or bad for you. So I had like a moral dilemma, right? But I knew I loved the health space. I loved anything that could help make people's lives better, whether it was their relationship or their, you know, we've been able to work for Daniel Amen, the Change Your Brain, Change Your Life guy, JJ Virgin, who made like the elimination diet, you know, simplified for middle America, and, you know, Sarah Gottfried, and, you know, just amazing people in the health and betterment space.
Yeah.
And now I'm working on a project right now with Metagenics, who's really changing this whole burnout conversation of doctors and getting them over to, you know, the personalized lifestyle medicine. So like, I gravitate toward brands that, wow, like they're really doing something that I think makes humanity better.
Yeah.
I think makes the world a better place to live. So as I walked away from raw food and started going towards betterment of anybody I could get my hands on, I just got really lucky, you know, and it's like, you know, we did one New York Times bestseller campaign and then that's kind of a circle, right? Mm-hmm. So one tells another and next thing you know, people are saying, hey, if you need this, go talk to these people.
That's how it works.
So we got really lucky where we kind of leapfrogged from amazing brand to amazing brand. And, you know, like this contract now with Metagenics, it's like they're $500 million and they're getting people off of drugs and onto supplements and lifestyle changes. So for me, that's a win that aligns with my values, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the sort of long winded story of how we went from like failing on our very first mission to figuring out that like, you got to go deep, you got to dive in, you got to really understand your audience and connect with them. And then here we are now, loving it.
Yeah. You know? How old is Maverick, your son?
Maverick is 10. He just turned 10 last December.
So this whole journey was 11-ish years. Well, maybe even more. I don't know how long you're...
And, 10, yeah. He had his first birthday when we made that sort of life jump.
Wow.
So, yeah, just about 10 years.
And props to you for the whole infertility stuff. That's my wife and I are definitely going through that. So I understand what you're talking about there. It's not easy. Especially,
no.
I can imagine for the woman, it's I know it's way harder. So it's
there's a lot of stuff there. Feel free to have her reach out to me, you know.
Yeah.
And I've had an amazing infertility guy in one of my courses called Conscious Copy Converts, and he dove in, and oh my God, I felt bad for the other students because I kind of felt like, oh, he was my prize pupil because he was solving a problem that I had in life. So if he had his homework in, you could bet his was the one I was using for example.
Oh, yeah.
on the course.
Nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. And and the fact that you guys have gone through that together, you know, you and Travis as a team, you know, getting through all that whole startup phase, obviously kids stuff, family life. How does it look now when you guys are working together? And obviously he has a super funnel thing, so it's a little separate, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found that to be what you thought it would be working with your husband or...
Oh my gosh, it's weird because it's way better and it's way worse, right? So
like
it's just that there's more on the line, right? Because being married is challenging enough, right? You got to keep it sexy and fun and fresh and playful, but you also got to make money and you got to get the kids in bed in time and you got to balance all this crazy shit if you want to dip like a deep, rich relationship with your partner. And we do, like both of us have a really fucking high bar for like who we are for each other, how couples need to be for each other, have each other's back. Like we have a really high bar.
Yeah.
And so when you work together, it's interesting. I ended up studying like Marshall Rosenberg, nonviolent communication, Alison Armstrong, like everything I could get my hands on about relationships and communication, which of course helped my copywriting. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
But I ended up having to dig deep into stuff because that's a great question. Working together is harder because there's more on the line. Just imagine your relationship if you guys don't work with your partners, you know, there's balancing that. And then you're also at the office all day where I am in a completely different mode. Like when I'm working, I'm hunting. I am a hunter. So don't treat me like a fucking gatherer. Like, don't treat me like I'm just walking around, like relax, doing whatever, like picking flowers and picking berries, like being a gatherer. I have my bow out and I am hunting. And that means shit gets done. It gets done my way. It gets done the way I say it gets done. And if you're not going to get it done that way, then just be in communication with me and it's all good. Right?
Yeah.
So if I'm that way, right, and then he's that way too, you can imagine where, you know, there's days we want to point our bows at each other. So what it requires is getting really clear on side of line. So he picks tech, right? So if we're working on a brand together and he does their tech stack inventory and he's like, okay, based on where they're at, based on how many followers, based on this, he picks the tech stack, right? Mm-hmm. And how those are going to go together. And I pick the connection flow. So I pick the connection. What's the journey between just meeting this brand and falling in fucking love with this brand? So it's like he lets me map my part and he shows me what options we have. And I show him, like we have these things called full funnel flow charts in our office. They are anal retentive, but also like simple and elegant. It's like a flow chart like most people use, but instead of just a visual flow chart, like you can click on the link of the opt-in page box and it takes you to the opt-in page.
Wow.
Wherever it's built, ClickFunnels, Kartra, wherever, right? You can click on the email nurture series and it takes you to that copy doc in Google Docs. Right? So I line out for him, okay, this is what I want the customer journey to look like. What are my choices? Right?
Yeah.
So he'll say, okay, they haven't invested in this platform. So all this fancy tagging that you want, you're not going to get that. So we kind of hash it out together. We'll look at the overall strategy based on the tech that, you know, they already have and they're willing to invest in. And then I can stretch over that the content that I want a visitor to get from when they first begin until they are in love with the brand. So yeah, everything cool. On his side of the line, I just have to defer.
Yeah.
Like if I think like, oh, you know what, this team, they're not super advanced. I'd rather see them on whatever, fill in the blank. I'd rather see them on Kartra. I'd rather see them on ClickFunnels. I'm like, hey, well, Joy, they don't want to invest in that. Like, I just don't even question him anymore. Like that's his side of the line. And he didn't come over to my side of the line and just start like, whatever, putting whatever copy he wants on an opt-in page or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he recognizes my expertise in my side of the line. I recognize his expertise in his side of the line. That's the only way it works.
When
you get it clear, it works better, because then big wins, you know, on the company side of things result in big celebrations on the, you know, romantic and fun side of things too.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. I mean, this goes for any kind of partners. I know Matt and I, we have a pretty dang clear delineation of what we're good at and what we should be handling in the biz.
Yeah, we don't celebrate on the romantic side as much, though.
not as much. No.
Little kisses and high
fives. I can keep going with that, but I'm not going to.
Like, we could rub our beards together and it creates magical things.
I don't know.
But no, that's... Curious really quick, who is the spreadsheeter of the two of you, or is it both?
Okay, so this is interesting. I don't know if he's gonna like saying this, and I know he listens to your podcast, so honey, I love you and I'm sorry, but so he would make a spreadsheet that is so complicated that like sometimes other parts of the team maybe couldn't even understand it really. And then I like to go back through and take the essential parts, like just the essential parts, and simplify it.
Okay.
And make it a little bit more elegant. So I would say he is the mastermind on like, okay, here's the overall big picture, like 30,000 foot view. Mm-hmm. And then because for my blonde brain, like that shit is too complicated, I'm like, okay, let me simplify it down and make it in a way that is A, super visual, you know, just pragmatically really functional. And then share it with the team and see how they do. Because the other thing when you're doing agency work, you guys have done this in the past, so you know, you just never know how the teams of the brands that you're working are, like in terms of their tech savviness and how much they see the whole big picture of marketing and how much they understand everything. And a lot of times they're really segmented, right? Like the social media people are not talking to the content calendar people over on the blog post side of things or the YouTube side of things. So it's amazing how much, you know, lack of cohesiveness can be going on in a brand when we first come in. Yeah. So the spreadsheets are essential, right? Because they get everybody on board and have a central hub for what's going on. For we have like the weekly marketing spreadsheet, for example. Mm-hmm. And that's where everybody's given their numbers on one central hub. And that's like a, you know, that should be a 15-minute meeting. Everybody like rattles off what's going on. So I'd say he creates the spreadsheets. And then when I put them into play, I kind of simplify them down a little bit.
Yeah.
So I would say he's the master of that.
I love it. Yeah. I remember seeing Travis is like the last mastermind when we had, I think Darren Hardy was there. So he was like, oh, I'm gonna ask him some good questions about this. And he was like the most prolific note taker I've ever seen during a mastermind, like an in-person thing. Just had a coffee shop.
Well, halfway through that meeting, I looked over and saw his notes on his computer, and I just stopped taking notes, and I just said, hey, share those with me. Those are better than the notes I'm taking.
Oh, his notes are insane, guys. Yeah. His notes are insane, and his capacity to like soak up stuff, like new stuff, is amazing. Yes. Like, you know, luckily I'm really lucky in two ways. One, in that way, he'll harvest all this amazing information. And so I can kind of pick it, like cherry pick exactly which parts I want to take and implement on my side of the line. And same with people, like he's a really superhuman connector.
Yes.
And he just meets and connects with everybody and remembers everything. And me, I can be a little introverted when I'm out. Like I'd rather have one-on-one conversations that go really deep than try to meet everybody in a room. And so he does the same thing in that regard. Like he just creates an amazing community. And then I get to spend, you know, more private time with them one-on-one, like at our house or whatever, and get to go deep and know more about their businesses, what's going on. And that's what I prefer. So in that way, we balance each other really well.
Sounds like it. That's perfect. Well, I'm curious about the whole personality styles and
I mean
you are all about copywriting content essentials and speaking and connecting authentically. That's what we were talking about like right before this. Like, Travis was telling you like don't cuss so much. I'm like, no, fucking cuss. be you.
I know he says you'll never be sponsored by Disney, honey.
That's all right, I can do
that. That's not my fucking audience, so I don't really care. Okay.
So where does this all start? I guess, you know, where does this authentic nature come from? And then can that translate into actual copy and content?
Yeah, well, you know, everybody has their style. Every copywriter has their own style. But for me, like, for example, I don't do copy for any brand that doesn't start with having an avatar and empathy map package done, right? And the reason for that is because, you know, we can guess what the language is that our audience needs to hear. We can kind of presume what they're feeling. We can, you know, look at, you know, I'll tell you, we have three ways of harvesting information when we're looking at a brand, whether or not we want to work with them. And it's competition telepathy, right? So what's going on in their niche? Like who else is a big name in their space? Competition telepathy, content telepathy, which is looking through all of their content, like comments on Facebook, comments on Amazon, comments in their courses or whatever, seeing what are people saying and what are their challenges, what do they love, what do they hate. And then there's actual customer telepathy. And the avatar and empathy map is made from customer telepathy. And that's where you actually get people on the phone. Now, I don't think brands should do this themselves. I think that they should have a third party do it. I mean, obviously, I love if they have me do it, but they could just have a neutral third party, like someone who, you know, maybe is a like a coach in their groups, for example. Okay. Like if they have a group program and there's someone who's a really badass coach in their group and answers questions, so they know the content inside and out. They kind of already know the people a little bit. So like a coach would be a good person to have do this. And you have this person interview at least at a minimum 20 people. And you ask them questions. This is live on the phone. This is not, you know, like Ryan Levesque asks them in the survey. That's a great place to start. But if you really want to do it, I think you get them on the phone. And most people start right in asking about themselves, right? Like, what do you like about our product? How'd you find us? Who referred you? Like, right? It's all about me, the brand. Yeah. But if you really want people to open up, you got to get them talking about who?
Them.
Yeah. Exactly.
They are key.
So whoever does these interviews, you know, should sort of be familiar with a psych interview process, which is where you ask for the why behind the why behind the why behind the why, right? So I would say to you guys, like, okay, you did your perpetual audience growth, right? You loved it.
Yeah.
But tell me this, before you even heard about those guys, before you even heard about them, what was going on in your life? Just tell me, give me a picture of what was going on in your life.
Matt,
you before you even heard about that, before you heard the podcast, before you saw the website, even heard about the course, just tell me what was going on in your life. And you ask them that, and that's when they start telling you, like shit, like Travis told you our story. I told you our story, like, oh my God, I was getting out of this career. I hate it, blah, blah, blah. Like they start barfing out their whole like life story that was happening right before they met you. Now, why is that important? But you guys could guess because you're good marketers.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that important?
You're getting into that deep-seated, like, what's the why? It's like you said, you ask why almost three times. So you get to that root. Like, why is it they're actually taking forward?
They're going to tell you what was going on. Like, they're like, oh, I lost my job, or I hate my job, or you know what? My job makes shit tons of money, but I have golden handcuffs, right? Like, I make all this money, but I hate it. You know, that'll happen to a lot of people, like the pharmaceutical space or what, like, you know, selling big cigarettes or whatever. Like, they just don't love what they're doing, right? So if you get to know that about people, you guys know because you run Facebook ads, you run all kinds of different marketing, right? They're going to tell you what happened. Oh, then I was on Facebook and I saw this post. Then I was on YouTube and I saw such and such a video. And that led me to another guy's video and another guy's video and another guy's post and another guy's PDF. And then I downloaded this. And so you can see exactly the ponds that your avatars were swimming in right before they met you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
Yeah, no, I love it. I was just writing down. I'm like, we need to call our top 20 customers right now who's completed the course.
And then you start this conversation where, oh, they thought they were going to be talking about you, really.
Right.
And now they're on the phone call and they're 10, 15, 20 minutes in talking about themselves, their favorite topic.
Right? That's so cool.
And I imagine pretty much everything they say translates into your sales message because you start to learn the types of wording they use. And you, after talking to a whole bunch of people, you start to learn, okay, here's like a common struggle that's come up like six times. Maybe we should put that into our copy.
You got it. Exactly. And so if you phase the question, so it's like, I have these questions, like what was going on in your life before? before you encountered the brand, mm-hmm. right? And then the next phase of questions is like, okay, so all that crazy shit, I'm so sorry, right? You empathize with them. Dude, that sounds so stressful. How'd you ever make it through? Blah, blah. Did your wife almost left you? Oh my God, that's terrible, right? So you're providing all this empathy for them and making sure they feel really, really heard. And then you pause and shift like, okay, so, well then how did you find out about this guy? How did you end up in the, you know, perpetual audience growth course? Like, oh, okay, here's the deal. Like I saw this and then I'm like, okay, hold on. So you saw that, but there's a million guys doing what they do. There's a million guys doing that. Like, why did you take their course? What was different? Oh, well, you know, they're super vulnerable. They're telling their stories. Like here we hear about his adopted kid and his whole trauma, this and that. And I had a struggle like this in my life. They start barfing out exactly why they like you better than the next guy who could teach what you guys teach.
100%. That is so right? dang valuable. And we've done that informally without really so systematic, like you're saying right here. But I mean, it's so easy. Anybody could do this.
It's so easy. Anybody could do it, right? So you have your before questions and then you have your discovery. How do they discover? And then you kind of get into the nitty gritty, right? Then you go, okay, so you loved them because they were super vulnerable and you love their podcast and they're super funny and they seem to know a bunch of people in the industry. So, you know, and they admit their own faults, right? A whole bunch of these guys want to act like they just make $1 million every month straight out the gate and they never had to suffer. And y'all know that that shit's not for real. Like everything will tell you their story. How like...
Hashtag truth. <you know?
laughs> So okay, so we love them. Okay, great. So it was the day that the car opened and you decided to buy. Like what was it? Why'd you do it? How'd you feel? And they will tell you like, oh, I bought it to learn. I bought it to learn how to always have traffic coming in. Okay, why? Why did you want all this traffic? Well, because I need the consistency of my income. Well, why? Well, because, you know, my last sales job had really intermittent money. Like it was big wins and then big dry spells. And that makes my wife fucking crazy. I thought that bitch was going to leave me. Now you have a real selling point, yes. right? So like, yeah, you could say consistent income or whatever. You could say that you want
save
that,
your marriage,
right?
But buy
that's
our
just
shit.
Words on a page. But when you put that next to it and say, like so-and-so said, hey, my wife was about to leave me. Shit was so scary, right?
Yeah, you don't see testimonials like that too often for info products, but I'm sure you could.
So you get into the juicy stuff of like, well, yeah, he wanted consistent money, but why, you know? Well, mm-hmm. he didn't want to be having to be on Tinder figuring out tech dating, right? He didn't want to figure that out. So you see where I'm going with this. It's like the more you ask why, the more you get actual copy. Now, keep in mind that I have this. So before they met the brand. Oh, then when they discovered the brand and then when they made the buying decision, right? And then I asked them, okay, so you got it. You're in the course. Tell me what happened. Oh, well, at first I felt like the big idiot in the room. Everybody seemed to know more than me in the chat room, whatever, you know, in the Facebook group, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you get to know what it was like for him. Now, these questions are badass for you guys because A, it can help you fix any problems in your offer that need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And B, it gives you more offers. Like you can see, oh, they always had a challenge with this one particular aspect of what we were teaching. Oh, dude, we could have a breakout session and upsell private coaching on that. You know, however you want to handle that problem. Handling that problem is another open door for another sale with that person.
100%. Yeah, mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. See, so now you ask, okay, during. So that's during the interaction with the brands. Okay, now after, when it was all over, what happened? And that's where you get your juicy testimonial stuff. We're like, well, not only is my wife staying with me, but I brought her a brand new ring and I took her to Tahiti and, you know, like she's loving it. I'm loving it. I'm feeling more confident in my life because I have a job that I love and it's making more money and blah, blah, blah. And you get to these really juicy testimonials that they want to share with you once they get to the other side. And then I always wrap up with a series of personal questions that are just kind of about them. Like, oh my God, thank you so much. This is so helpful. I'm so glad that you shared all of this with me. Now, just tell me a little bit about you. Like, if I was following you around online, where would I see you? What other things do you like? Archery, blogging, cooking, golf? Like, what do you like, right? And believe it or not, you guys, it sounds like I'm just being crazy and all over the place, but there are patterns in the chaos.
Oh yeah.
That's the way nature is. Like everything can look completely fucking chaotic, but there are patterns because you are who you are. You guys are who you are. And you are going to have a resonant frequency that works for a certain audience and doesn't work for others. And so what I like to do is take all of this customer journey. Now I know where they're fishing, what ponds they hang out in, what emotional state they're in, and I can break it up. So that before is your advertising.
Yes.
Right? And then the marketing is talking about their stories, what's going on in their life. And then the sales is everything that had them make the buying decision, why they chose you out of everybody else. Hmm. And then the fulfillment series is all the things that we know they struggled in getting through the course. Well, the emails in the fulfillment sequence, they support them and say, okay, guys, this part's going to be hard, but don't worry, right? So we had a fulfillment sequence. So now the stick rate in our product is better, because we're actually helping them go through the challenges they complained about.
Yep.
And then you have post-purchases, like how do we get them into more things that is our brand? So you literally take the language that they gave you and you insert it into your copy.
Mm. That could be the entire, like, that's everything you do.
Well, what about, what if somebody's starting a brand new company and they don't have customers, they don't have a list, they don't have any prospects yet, they're starting from scratch? How would you recommend they get the initial languaging for an offer?
First off, I don't believe that anybody who hasn't proven that their process work deserves the right to sell, which is a very radical statement. I know. But here's the thing. If you don't know, if you're bringing an offer to the world and you don't know that it works, then you should get people into that offer for either free or really cheap or whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. Get everyone you know who's interested in that and have them let you help them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then iterate on the process 1, 2, maybe 3 times. And as you iterate and as you help people, you're going to see that, okay, all this information that you have in your head, all this brilliant shit that you think you know and the world needs to know, you might know it so well that you're not teaching it clearly enough that people who don't understand it can absorb it and put it into action. And if they can't absorb it and put it into action, it's kind of useless. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you are a brand who has no list and no people, you at least need proof. And guys, you need it for yourself, right? Like, mm-hmm. who feels like a fucking phony if they're selling something that they don't believe works, which is why I don't write for anybody who I don't do their avatar and empathy maps. Because I'll tell you what, if I do avatar and empathy maps and nobody had good results and nobody liked it, do you think I'm going to take a copy contract from that person?
I would hope not.
No, no fucking way. There's no way, because you know what? I like putting my head on my pillow at night and feeling like, bitch, you did a good job. You helped a good person doing good things in the world, reach more people who need them, and good on you, babe. Go to
Hell
sleep,
yeah.
Right? And
Hell
if
yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
have that, I would be a wreck, you know?
Yeah.
Just a wreck.
I just love this whole thing because I'm just seeing just even an interview with one person, but if you get 20, I'm assuming you're distilling all that stuff into kind of a cohesive pattern that you're finding. That's your freaking sales page right there. Your entire copy,
yeah.
video, content
yes.
videos.
And that brings us back to what you wanted to touch on. I know this is kind of a long thing, but you wanted to touch on personality styles. If you just talk to one person, that person is one primary personality style,
right?
And if you do 20 or 40, for God's sake, you know, you're going to have a little bit of each, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to get some competitive, some methodical, some humanistic, some spontaneous, and you're going to see patterns. And that's where they emerge, right? So you'll see patterns in the language, like you said. I remember I was doing the avatar and empathy map for Isabella Wentz. You know, mm-hmm. she does thyroid, mm-hmm. she's the thyroid pharmacist. They did that whole documentary. I love that couple. They are amazing. And in doing their avatar empathy maps, I remember this one word kept coming up in every personality style. It was bone crushing fatigue.
Mm.
Like, you could say their hormones off and I was being a bitch and I didn't know I was tired and but whether it was a 21-year-old girl dealing with it or it was a 64-year-old woman, for some reason, they all used this phrase, bone crushing fatigue.
Wow.
So why wouldn't we make sure that that's like the top of page word? Right?
Yeah, that's your headline in there somewhere.
Exactly. You guys get it.
Yeah. No, this is amazing just breaking down that whole process because it sounds so fundamental. Go talk to your customers, but then you laid out this whole process, which if you listening did not follow along, we'll have those notes for you. We always like to take notes, a little companion thing
yes,
on the show notes
show
page.
Notes. I yeah. love that you guys have that as an opt-in, by the way. That is so fucking awesome.
It is fucking awesome.
Like,
people
talk about niche, right? Like, okay, the person liked this talk. Okay, well, let's give them notes for just that talk. Like, it does not get any more customized
well,
than
and
that.
What,
I love it.
What people don't know behind the scenes is every time you opt in for one of those, we now know exactly what interests you have, and we can retarget you, and we can mail you stuff based on the interests that you've basically told us you like because you've downloaded those companions.
Stop showing the wizard.
I love you. No, that's great. So this is exactly where when Travis and I talk, I'm like, okay, what system are they using? Okay, they use HubSpot. Great. The tagging is amazeballs. We can do campaigns that break them off here and here and here and here. We can have 20 more conversations. It's great, right? Of course, the full funnel flowchart on that looks like Disneyland map. So it's a little bit hard for like, to understand, but
yeah. So okay, this is amazing. Yeah. So you have go ahead, Matt.
On the personality types thing, what are the four basic personality types? And like what defines them?
Well, I like to use the terminology from Myers-Briggs, but you guys, they're pretty much all like the same, right? Mm-hmm. Or very, I won't say they're exactly the same, but they're super fucking similar. Mm-hmm. And there's the competitives and the spontaneous, the humanistic, and the methodical. Now, I want you to think of those like if you picture them on an axis, right? So if competitive is in the upper right-hand corner and spontaneous is in the lower right-hand corner and methodical is in the upper left and humanistic is in the lower left, right? Well, the up-down axis at the top, it's very intellectual, very intellectual. And at the bottom, it's emotional. Super based, making decisions super based on emotion. Now we all buy based on emotion, but if we are a very intellectual person, we are emotional about making smart decisions.
Right.
So don't confuse those two. Everybody makes emotional decisions. And then on the, you know, horizontal axis on the right hand side, the competitors and the spontaneous are very fast paced. Right. Mm-hmm. They're the reason you need a buy now button above the fucking fold.
True.
Because as a person like me, do not make me read your long form fucking sales letter. Like, thank I already you. Know I love you. I want to buy it. Don't make me wait. Right?
Yep.
So because we make such fast paced decisions, we need to make sure that there's buy now button above the fold. There's sort of off ramps to the sale earlier in the conversation for those people. On the other side, the opposite of being fast paced, they're super deliberate. So they want to look at it one step at a time. They're going to go through it slower. They're going to absorb it all. And then they're going to make a decision, right? So they're the reason you need a long-term nurture, right? So you have these four different types. And if you are able to give all of them what they need, like I think every sales page should address all four personality types. I think every sales page should do that. And then... I think that we should have content that's geared toward these people. So Travis shared the 1-3-15 process.
Yes.
You know, and you guys know how much content you have to make to have a funnel go crazy and just be super successful. But that's that process. If you didn't see that episode, go back and watch that one with Travis. It was really good. Good job, honey. But it's one offer, three lures. We call them lures. You might call them opt-ins or lead magnets. So it's one really well-refined offer, which your upsell, downsell, back continuity, everything. Super solid offer. Three lures, ways to bring them in. And then five pieces of content related to each of the three lures. Now, you might need more content than that, but it's much easier on your weekly meetings if you're only checking five pieces of content and you keep the winners and you kill the losers and you're only tracking 15 pieces. That gets a lot easier for you, right? Especially when you add on for every piece of content, every one of those five pieces of content, you need at least three ads that you're running. So now that's 45 pieces of thing to be tracking. So you can see how this gets exponentially huge in terms of every little piece that you have to track all the time.
Right.
So if you have one article five, right? So one for the competitives, right? They want to win. They want to be able to do it faster and better than anybody else. If Oprah's doing it, they want to know how, right? The spontaneous people, they're like, ooh, new, shiny, different, fun, step by step, you know, like those, the spontaneous people, they're both of those are fast paced. So we want articles that work for those, one for competitive, one for spontaneous. And then we need some more slower like pieces of content that have human story, both about you, so they trust you, and about stories about how this can affect them and their community and other people. And then you need one for the methodical, which is the data and the charts and the graphs and the proof, right? Mm-hmm. And they're very intellectual, like the competitive, so they also want you to tell them step by step how this is going to go down. No surprises, right? So even on those prices, if there's like an opt-in, I'll tell them like, hey, when you click this button, you're going to be taken to Google Drive. where you're going to get the spreadsheet. So like I will forewarn a methodical that I'm taking them a couple of clicks away.
Yeah. So you're right? showing them the process before they take it because they want to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they have time to digest it and think about it. Like, oh, okay. Why did she take me into Google? Why did Google Docs open when I hit the button to get the download that I wanted? Right?
Right.
Well, that's because we're actually giving you a spreadsheet that you can use right inside your own Google Drive. So I want to make sure they know about that before I just take them to another page and they're like, what the heck? How come I'm not getting my opt-in right now? I'm on a Google page. That doesn't make any sense to me. So we'll forewarn them and stuff like that. So we have one for all four. And then the fifth one is what I call a catch-all. And the catch-all will start at the top with a competitive headline and then a spontaneous subhead and then a humanistic body and a methodical close. So it's sort of like a catch-all.
And that's cool because the close, I'm assuming, is a little further down the page where the spontaneous types will probably have already taken action or clicked away if it doesn't resonate or whatever.
Mm-hmm, whereas exactly.
The math, yeah, those guys have made it all the way down to the very end because they want to see everything.
Yes,
so
yes,
it's like that flow exactly. that you just said there makes perfect sense too. That's cool.
Yeah.
So
that's the avatar and empathy map process. And so once you have all of that, then I color code the data based on like, these are their pains. These are their gains. We actually do like an avatar of, oh, they're about this age. They do this. Here's a little story about them. And then we do their empathy map, which I'm not sure if you've heard of an empathy map.
No, that I was going to
really
say.
Helpful.
Let's break that down really quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So the great thing about the empathy map is it's really having empathy for just being human, right? Because there's what we feel. Right? There's what we feel inside our body. And then there's what we see out in the world. And there's what we hear and trust, right? And then there's what we actually do. Mm-hmm. Now, all those things might say, well, yeah, but that's all just me. I just do what I do. But if you break it down, you're talking to really different parts of the person. So for example, you guys know that you should eat more vegetables, right? Like you feel that you would be healthier if you ate more vegetables. But if you look in the quadrant, this is also done in a four quadrant mode. If you look over in the quadrant, lower right quadrant about what I do. So there's what I feel in the upper left. I feel I should eat more vegetables. But on the do column is I just went to In-N-Out for lunch or wherever they went for lunch. Right. Mm-hmm. So what they feel and they think is not the same as the actions that they're taking. It's like you guys' audience. Right. Like they know that they can't just be in perpetual launch mode. They
right.
know that they need to get consistent traffic. They know that. Like I hope they know that. They're
I
listening
hope so.
To your podcast. So obviously
try our best.
Know that. Right. So they know yeah. that. But are they doing what it takes or are they still stuck in perpetual launch mode? So their thoughts and feelings might not align with their actions. And then we also have to take into account what they see working in their space. Like they see, well, hey, if I tried to switch to getting consistent traffic all the time, well, that would mean I would have to not do that launch next month. And if I don't do that launch next month, I see my bank account being empty, right? So there's like what they see in their real life that might be the consequences or of doing or not doing something. And then there's what they hear. Who are the people that they're listening to, that they trust, right? And when you look at all four of those and their pain gain charts, and you've got all this information harvested from the interviews of wording that they like and how different personalities absorb that wording or use that wording, now you've really got something solid to sit down and write copy. So like I don't write copy without my avatar and empathy map for a brand open.
That's amazing. And well, for one, I'm going to credit you and Travis because both of you guys showed up with like these massive systems that people could just totally swipe and use for themselves, which is fucking fabulous. Thank you to both of you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. So you have copy. I'm just thinking of, so my brain's at like, okay, if we're looking at a funnel and then we also have, you know, so we have all this marketing, the stuff that's happening prior to a sale, but then after the sale, you have all those fulfillment. This is where I know Matt and I have drop the ball in some cases is, you know, there's so many elements like follow-up or making sure that they're actually consuming the content, making sure they're not stuck on a specific part that could totally jeopardize their success in the long run.
Yes.
So it's, where should we start? Because I know I just kind of want to make sure that maybe like the 80-20, because there's a lot here. And for us mere mortals, like Matt and I, how do we make sure we're doing the best job without like all consuming or I don't know where to start here, but like, do you start with copy, or what part do you find that people drop the ball the most with? Let's start there.
Do you mean specifically on fulfillment? So once you've made a sale, where do you start after that?
I would say, yeah, let's start there, because if we're talking to customers, like these 20 you said, that's super important, because that's going to back out all this data that you can use to attract more of your best customers.
Exactly.
So how do we make sure that that's stage?
So you could just start there. Like, you could just start there by having, like, if you, I don't know if you had any support on your Facebook groups or maybe it helps you with that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You could have this person interview them, right? And you're going to have all this data. Now, remember I told you we asked them what was going on in your life before? Well, just tell me what was happening before you even thought about this brand. Just what was going on in your life, right? That's before. And then we have discovery. And then we have like trigger pulling, what made them pull the trigger. And then we have during their interaction with the brand. If you're looking to up your fulfillment, your stick rate, and your closes on the back end, you want to start in that language, in the language that they gave you about the fulfillment during, mm-hmm. about what, during their interaction with you, what was life like, right?
Yeah.
Because if you bring it back to like a health example, like for JJ Virgin or for Sarah Gottfried or even the Wentz's, like anybody, Amy Myers, like all these people who are, they're asking these people to change their diet super radically. Mm. Then one of the things that came up in the during was, well, shit, I got to eat this way, but my kids and my family are still eating the way I want to eat right in front of me. And that sucks. So what do you think it does for the stick rate for us to address that in the groups, in the forums, in the Facebook groups, in the emails? And we start giving them recipes that their whole family would actually like. Their whole family wouldn't even know that they're eating a particular way.
Got it. Yeah.
Now we've got the stick rate coming up, and we've got even better than the stick rate, you guys, you've got badass testimonials on the other side. Because the bottom line is, if you make the sale, you make the money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make a customer, like you really bond with that person and you make them your customer, now you've got an LTV that's higher, mm-hmm. and you've got an actual relationship. So this is like, yes. the difference between a Tinder hookup and getting married, right? And I'm looking for brands to get married.
Yeah.
You know, I don't write for Tinder brands. I write for let's get married brands.
This should be on the top of your website.
Yeah. New slogan.
Now, this is just cool, because I think fulfillment's one of those things in marketing that we a lot of folks don't talk about. Maybe it just doesn't sound sexy. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, fulfillment, follow-up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, not necessarily fulfillment. Like, we always fulfill on the products, but there's been times where we've sold products, we have customers who bought the product, and then, like, the relationship is almost over after they've bought, right? They bought the course, they're in there, and we're still out there, like, emailing the people that haven't bought, and then the people that have bought kind of get neglected a little bit.
And I'm lumping fulfillment in with follow-up.
So I'm going to call you out on that, if you don't mind, because I love y'all. So you consider fulfillment, let's say you consider fulfillment the email that says, okay, here's your login, here's your link, here's your password, like, click here to get in the Facebook group. Like, maybe you're considering, once they actually get inside your site, right? Once they get in, you're considering that fulfilled.
Well, I was considering the follow-ups too, but I don't know.
Okay, good. Because I think that's not really fulfilled, right? That's like, if I invited you guys to a party here at my house, right? And we're having a rager, and there's a whole bunch of people here that you should know that need you probably. And then conversely, that you need to know so you can learn from and keep growing, right? Mm-hmm. And as a hostess, I let you in the door, and I just give you a cup and say, the bar's over there.
Mm.
Work it out. Like, I would never do that. You know, yeah. I would never do that. I would walk you around the room and say, hey, these guys are over here. Those people are over here. The hot chicks are over there. The cocktail's over here. Like, I would walk you around, give you the lay of the land, and make sure that you could make the most out of this encounter.
Yes.
Whether you were here looking to grow, or you were here looking to socialize, or you're here looking to date, right? I would have a conversation with you as I walked you around the party to be like, hey, you know, what would make tonight perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I would say we've gotten a lot better at that, but that was an issue that we used to have, was we used to not follow up with customers after they bought very much. Now we have this whole community element where somebody buys our course, they get access to the forum. Joe and I get in there on the forums every day and point people in the right direction and answer questions. And we're emailing all the customers once a week and, you know, letting them know what's new in the forum and asking if they have any questions so we can improve the course. So it's definitely changed a lot. But I know it's something that we used to struggle with. And I also know it's something that a lot of like info product digital marketers still just don't do well.
Yeah. And you know what? I encourage you guys to do something simple like this and just feel it out, right? So they get in and you can send them an email, right? Send an email to me. Hey, Joy, you just bought. Awesome. Congratulations. Welcome to community. We got two tracks around here. We got a track where we kick your ass and we send you an email every week telling you what we would do to get the most out of this course every week to really milk it. Like just get everything out that you can and start making way more money really fast. In which case you can expect, and you just fill in the blank, right? Two emails, three emails a week, and we're going to kick your ass into using this shit, right? Or maybe you prefer a little more relaxed style and you want to go at your own pace, in which case we'll just let you know about our live Q&A sessions and we'll send you a few things to guide you through the content. You choose. And they pick one. They go, that's going to take them to the page. We'll give them the top content on that. They pick the other, and they're going to get maybe a slow track, right? A slow track, fast track checklist and a slow track checklist. But what has happened when they click one of those links is you guys have tagged them and now they get a different email series. And there you go. They just chose for you. Am I on the competitive or spontaneous side, or am I on the methodical humanistic side? Do I want to go a little bit slower?
Got it. So yeah, if we're dealing with four personalities, it's really two tracks that you could set up for them because so those are the dominant things.
Exactly. And if you wanted to get all ninja about it, then you could actually ask some questions in those two divided series to see if you could split them up anymore.
Sure.
But I don't want to get crazy with it, but you see where I'm 80/20. Going. It's like you could have a fulfillment sequence that starts to seg them out. Like you could even ask them, you know, you could do anything. You could get all Ryan Levesque and survey them or whatever. But at a minimum, I would try to get them because I'm that type of person who I go through a course. If I just paid fucking money for it, like I want homework and I want to know when it's due and when I should be, you know, like I want an A+ in the course that I just bought. And if I had the chance for someone to kick my ass into getting an A+, I would sign up every time. Now that I'm a competitive.
I don't think I've ever seen that, you know, in any products. And we've consumed many a products, information products. And that's exactly what I was trying to get at the core. And I didn't know how to approach it, but like you nailed it. The fact that you can customize this journey after the purchase point, that's where I've always felt, I'm like, there's got to be a better way than, we do all this stuff that Matt said, which most don't even do that. We support like crazy, but we're like, but still there's personalities and there's this roadblock that we aren't going to see.
Yeah.
And they'll probably just disappear.
And now it's so fun, right? Like you could do it in your, you know, you could do it through your email system, right? Mm-hmm. Or some people now, I think this is really interesting, are just kind of doing it right in the Facebook group, right? With bots, like instead of a bunch of emails, they'll be like, okay, hey, do you want the fast track where we IM you every couple of days to make sure you've gotten through shit and you're getting shit done? Or do you want to just kind of leave you alone and let you know when the live Q&A sessions are?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I like that a lot.
You've got two different Facebook bot campaigns, right? So there's lots of it doesn't matter what modality you're using. It matters that you just got this person in the door and you really want to show them around the party and make sure that they don't forget that it's bounce house in the backyard. Because, God, you want to make sure they get on the bounce house, right?
Yeah. I love these analogies. You must be a copywriter.
Speaking of copy, when you do write your copy, do you have any like templates or formulas that you like to follow? Like I know, I think David Frey has like a 12-point checklist and Perry Belcher has some sort of like spin-off of his own like 21-point checklist. Do you follow any sort of like formulaic flow with your copy?
It depends. I totally do the formula for my copy, but I more map that out in the full funnel flow chart. So basically, you know, I don't write for any brands that I don't think are doing amazing shit in the world because that's huge for me. I also need total clarity on the customer journey. So like, okay, here's my top of funnel content, whether it's blog posts or YouTube or Facebook, whatever it is, my top of funnel content, what are we giving them? And my end sale, what are we giving them, right? Because I want to look at the whole entire journey through, you know, getting them deeper into more pieces of content. And then I get them in an opt-in. And now I have an email series or a Facebook series, right? Going out to them and communicate. So first thing that I map out is that. of all the assets the brand has, what's my top of funnel content I want to make sure they consume? What lures am I taking them to? So anyways, it's like the 1-3-15 backwards, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll chart out what are my 15 pieces of content to which 3 lures to 1 offer. And I'll look at the emotional journey I want to take them on there. And what I do is I start with the communications. I start with what's going to be the competitives and the spontaneous, because I know those people want to make a decision really faster, but I always have the methodicals and the humanistics in mind, right? So I'll take them through content knowing that they're going to need a lot more, right? Mm-hmm. And so you could see it like, oh, you're early sales, you're mid, then you're late sales. So for the first thing that I chart out is that. But I think when it comes to needing a super formula is when you're on the sales page. Mm-hmm. That's where I really think you have to come up with your own formula. Because if you're on the sales page, now if you've got a brand who's willing to give you, multiple different sales pages for each personality type, like, woohoo, that's really great for me, right? Because I can speak to exactly what they need. But I do think that you need to come up with your... with your architecture of persuasion, right? Mm-hmm. Which I know you guys love to talk about books on here too.
Nice.
And I think that's one of the best books that you can pick up and read quickly. And it's entertaining, right? It's called The Architecture of Persuasion. It has a subtitle. I think it's How to Write Well-Constructed Sales Letters.
Ooh, and it's by,
Mark Ford, but it's under the pen name Michael Masterson.
Right.
Okay. And what's great about that book is that you totally learn like the fundamentals of copywriting for the purpose of selling, but you learn it through this extended metaphor. It's like about this guy, he's sort of like an Indiana Jones kind of character, super interesting professor type, and he's trying to woo this lady. And so as they go through this conversation of him getting her, like you see all these interesting things, like how he happens to leave the Time magazine out in the foyer when she comes in to take off her jacket, where he's on the Time magazine cover or whatever. It might not have been Time magazine, so sorry if I'm misquoting, but it's that sort of thing where you're dropping little hints about how awesome your brand is and what you can do all throughout the relationship. And that's the architecture of persuasion from the very first piece of content all the way through down to the asset. You know, like I'm almost embarrassed to admit that, right? Because it sounds like I'm just being super fucking manipulative. But the thing is, like, I want to make sure that if I'm, offering something, yes, it's generous content and it is meant to be given away, but let's face it, like it also has a point.
Yeah.
And that point is they're either on our boat of doing, in you guys' case, they're on the boat of doing the marketing the way that you will teach them to do marketing, or they're on someone else's boat. And either way, for me, I want to keep my cost of acquisition low. So like, I want to have that whole architecture. I want people off of the boat really soon. And I want them on, for as long as we're still on the same page and still on the same conversation. And the reason for that is just, it makes my ad cost lower. And I'm saying? Like, I don't want to waste money trying to drag people toward my offer. I don't want to do that. That's like swimming upstream.
Yep.
So for me, that's the sort of more, I more have a pattern for specific sales pages, but for me, architecting the entire conversation from top of funnel content to, fulfillment sequence until I'm interviewing them that they're a maven, that's the picture that I like to orchestrate before I write.
Just makes it so much easier, I imagine, when you actually get to writing and creating this content. I know when Travis lined out the whole architect or, the system for creating content, it's just like, oh, well, duh. Now it just kind of flows out of you until you have all this ammo around you. You're just like, oh, take a little bit of this, take a word here. You got the emotion you're playing with.
Exactly. And then when you map it out and you actually sit down to write those 5 posts, you're like, you get to be, it's weird. It's what do they say? Like structure will set you free. Mm-hmm. Like it seems way overly structured, but the truth is that when you sit down in front of the computer, everybody gets that like tofu brain when they go to write their own copy. It's like, if you know what the whole adventure is, then you know, like, oh, this post is the White Rapids, you know, like this one's going to be such an emotionally bumpy ride, right? And then, okay, now we have to climb up the hill and it's going to be all this data that's like kind of tough to get through, right? So if you know going into it, when you sit down to write the copy, then it gives you a ton of freedom. Okay, here I get to be super, super silly and super fun and super emotional. And then over here, okay, I gotta pull back on that, and I gotta get hardcore serious and make a case for this person about how they'll benefit from absorbing or using this content. So for me, it frees me up. If I have the 30,000-foot view, then it makes the getting into the minutia of creating the copy fun.
Totally.
And I love it. You know, it's just a game. You know.
Do you have an issue writing in different personalities, or do you have that? Is that just not an issue if you have all that information right in front of you?
Okay, that is a great question, and it is also a good segue into a gift that I have for your audience if they want it.
Christmas.
And that is having a character diamond, because the one mistake, so I've given talks about doing this avatar and empathy map where you harvest the copy in this way, and you use the copy from this section for this, and this for this, and this, like very systematic, right? Mm-hmm. And people are like, ooh, ah, that's great. I'm totally going to do that, right? And they go do that, but then they forget to be themselves. Yep. So in other words, they take so much from what the avatar and the empathy maps and pain gain charts show, and they kind of contort themselves to be what they think they need to be in order to sell.
Right.
And that's not the point. The point is to be yourself, your own self, like me, like I cuss, right? I don't want people doing copy with me who are going to be offended every time I drop an F-bomb, right? Like the client's going to be stressed out. I'm going to be stressed out. Like, forget it. Like, yeah. I like fun clients, you know? So I wouldn't want to do things. I wouldn't have top of funnel content where I wasn't, you know, just being myself. Mm-hmm. And if I'm in a video and I cuss or, you know, whatever, flip my hair too much or whatever, like that's going to turn off people and I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Right? Okay.
Because I love my client. I fall in love with my clients. I just do. So if you use a character diamond, which you can get it at characterdiamond.com, and again, for all you methodicals out there, it is a Google slide sheet. So when you hit the opt-in button, you're going to go to Google and you're going to have to say, put this in my drive. It says make a copy, and it makes a copy in your own drive. And then you can edit it. And it comes with a video that gives you lessons on how to do it. But that you have to be able, and especially if you're a copywriter, because I'm writing in my voice if it's our copy here, right? But I'm writing in other people's voice. Like right. So I've just been writing in Dr. Sarah Gottfried's voice for the Metagenics Institute, right? And they have this beautiful mission to help doctors shift from this burnout crazy zone that they're in right now to personalized lifestyle medicine. I love it. And I respect that woman so fucking much that writing in her voice would give me a nervous breakdown. Like the pressure of it would give me a nervous breakdown if I didn't have a perfect character diamond for her. So the character diamond is where you look at and you say, okay, well, it's really helpful. I don't know if you guys want to go into that also, because we've covered so much. I feel like I'm hogging your whole podcast time.
We have, but maybe let's do an overview. Might as well, you know, tease it a little bit so people actually go over there to characterdiamond.com.
Totally. Okay, so what's interesting about this is, you know, we all think that we know ourselves so totally well, right? We think, I talk like this, I sound like this, right?
Yeah.
But then have you ever been in conversation with someone and walked away from the conversation being like, I'm not sure they totally got what I was saying?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? It was just like, okay, maybe I use a word in a different way. He uses a word in a different way. He's religious. I'm not, you know, like, you know, everything can have a slightly different meaning. We're all human. We have totally different backgrounds, right? But if you take and chart out your personality, your character diamond, then this also is on an axis, right? So at the top, you're going to have your credibility. At the bottom, you're going to have how things that are entertaining about you. And then on the right side, you're going to be vulnerable. And on the left side, you need to create trust. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you do this, and all of these instructions are in the character diamond. So you take someone like, let's do Oprah Winfrey, for example, right? So at the top, about, you know, if we're wondering like, okay, well, how does this woman have any credibility? Well, first of all, she's freaking one of the world's wealthiest women, right? So obviously she's doing some shit, right? she's got some cred from that. You know, she like gives away cars to the audience, and you know, she funds schools in Africa, and she gives away knowledge for power. Like that's what she's all about, right? She introduces us to all these amazing thought leaders. So all of those things about her are great for her credibility, right? But if we wanted to go down to the bottom of her character diamond, which is like, well, how is she entertaining? Well, like, wow, she came from nothing.
Right.
She had no money. She was like abused, like The Color Purple. She talks about how like, oh my God, so much of that character was like so real to my life, just being fucking beat down by the world. Right. And she was forced to hustle to make it work. Now that's entertaining, like human to human. Like it's amazing that she's the world's wealthiest woman, but it's entertaining that bitch came from nothing and carved her way in the world. You see what I'm saying? So we have the credibility things like up at the top, and then we have what's entertaining down at the bottom. And then on the right, left axis, on the right, we have some vulnerability, and the left, we have trust. So on the right, we see her vulnerability, right? We see it all the time. Yeah. She's been on front cover of every magazine for everything from her weight loss, being super fat, being super thin, but hating life because she's eating a certain way, right? So we see her being personal about her struggles with weight. We see her, you know, is she engaged to Stedman? Is she not engaged to Stedman? I don't know. It's on, it's off, it's broken. Like we see all these things about her, right? So that belongs, those things belong over on the vulnerability side of her. And then on the trust side, then we can look at her and say like, okay, she's exposing like Eckhart Tolle to the world, right? Yeah. I mean, didn't she get like the world's largest group of meditators online? All of, I mean, Deepak might have
with
that after that. But I think her and Eckhart had like the biggest group meditation in the world.
And now
like
it's that. Her and Deepak. Yeah.
So it's, now it's her and Deepak. Okay. Yeah. See what I'm saying? So she's like got all this powerful information. She introduces thought leaders. She inspires us to bring our best, right? She really stands for success in life. She is an uplifting woman. And so that would be her character diamond. So now I have up at the top, okay, she's wealthy, but down at the bottom, well, she was dirt poor. And over on the right, I have, man, she has been devastated. But I have over on the left, she's completely uplifting. Now, can you see how that's a fully dimensioned human being?
Totally. Yeah.
Totally rich in every way, right? And then what I would do is I would layer these little boxes, looks like a little text box, you know, like a talk box in a comic book. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would watch hours and hours and hours of footage. Right. So this is what I'll do with Sarah. Yeah. I'll watch her YouTube lives. I'll watch her or her YouTube videos or Facebook lives. I read her books. I absorb everything that I can about her, seeing her talk, seeing her lecture. Right.
You just immerse.
It's funny. Yeah, I immerse myself like a sponge. And you have to do this. If it's you guys, you have to listen back to your own podcasts.
That's the hardest thing for me
to
do.
It's so hard. It's so hard. I know. But then you have to listen and you'll say, oh my God, look how often I always use that phrase.
Right? I've definitely noticed that. I'm sure our listeners know that more than myself. Matt tells me, he's like, listen to their fucking podcast, bro. Yeah. Well, when I do, it helps. It helps a lot.
Yeah. So then you go in and you say, okay, well, what phrases do I have that make me credible? Yeah. What phrases do I use that are really vulnerable? What phrases do I say that are entertaining, right? Like, like my students in Conscious Copy Converts had to tell me, like, Joy, you always use the word amazeballs. Like, like if their homework was so good, I would be like, this is amazeballs, right? So that is a sample of something that would go down in my little talk box under entertainment. And if you're doing, you know, if you have people who are close to you, especially like people who've gone through my copy course, I'm also friends with them, then I would ask them like, oh, what patterns of speech or things that I say or the way that I explain things make me any of these four quadrants, right? And they'll say, oh, well, the way you never make someone feel tech-tarded. That's another term that came up on mine, right? Like, don't worry, if you're feeling tech-tarded, I'm going to walk you through this, right? So that made me more trustworthy for them, that like, even if they were a little behind the curve on the tech side, they knew if they heard me say tech-tarded, that I was going to have a little sideline conversation if they wanted to stay on after the class, and we would close the gap. Right.
I got it.
So you have your chart, and then you have your four talk boxes. And when I have all of that, then no, I'm not scared to write in someone's voice.
That makes perfect sense now. because you are them, essentially.
Well, I love that character, Diamond. Like, I can, in my head, as you were saying that, I was just, like, picturing different celebrities in my head. And as I was picturing them, I'm like, I can actually see how they have very strong traits in all four of those quadrants.
Perfect. And that's it. Like, it's so funny because, you know, in some ways I feel like Travis has the harder job on our team because tech changes so often, right? Like Facebook algorithm, Google algorithm, you know, today it's ClickFunnels, tomorrow it's Kartra, today it's, you know, who knows, right? Like this shit is changing. The platforms we're on, the rules, the regulations, like all that stuff changes a lot. You know what doesn't change?
The stuff you're doing.
Like being a real fucking human. Like it's just true. Being really human with another human. And when I write every piece of copy, I don't think about thousands of people gathered around a computer looking at a screen. I think about one person. Like I'm having a conversation with one person. Because although you might have a launch that, you know, makes a, you know, 100,000 sales in one day, ultimately each one of those sales was made by one person.
And that's the hardest thing to think about unless you actually think that through. You're like, oh yeah, it's just like making a video. One of the things in the very beginning when I started, you know, a long time ago making videos, Matt and I, it's like, don't say, hey everybody, how you doing? It's like, no, one person watching your video at a time, unless it's like some audience. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
But that's like cardinal rule that gets broken all the time, even by some of the best.
Yeah. I still find myself doing that every once in a while in email copy. Like, what's up, everybody? And then I always go back and go, wait, no.
Nope, wrong.
Yeah, exactly. You, right? You could be cuddling with your kid right now, and you're here reading with me.
Seriously,
awesome. Like, it's... You know, we got to honor their attention. We got to honor their time. And so that's why having those conversations from the, it's really you speaking to one person at a time.
No, this is really fascinating. And this is, we've said it on many other shows, but like last year, Matt and I really dug into like our personalities to understand how we communicate and just act throughout the world. And like, holy shit, that actually, like, we learned so much just about ourselves. And now we're talking about our customers, like deep diving, using all your methods here. I'm like, dude, just imagine what can open up from this now. It's like a whole different vein. Really cool.
So there's like, you want a little sip of water, and that was maybe a bit of a fire hose, but that's it. You know, that's the process. That, you know, that's how I think you do it. You get really clear on your audience and be able to address all of the different personality styles that might be in that audience. And then you get really clear on yourself. So that, you know, I would say you probably even should do that first, you know,
I think so.
So that based on your learnings, you don't contort yourself into who you think you need to be in order to sell.
Yeah. If you get out of that authentic nature, and a lot of folks just don't know what that is yet. So go study yourself. That'd be helpful.
Yeah. And I can tell you one thing, which this is one pet peeve I have right now. You do not need to say the word authentic or vulnerable when you are being those things.
That's,
you don't need to say it, because like, what are you being if you're not being that? Like, you know?
Yeah, that's just a red flag. You're like, ooh, do I trust anything you ever said?
Exactly.
Oh man,
good point.
That's like people calling themselves influencers.
Look at me with my,
because I say so.
I consider somebody an influencer when they have influence over a lot of people, not because you just called yourself. Like, you go on Instagram and you see people with like 12 followers that are influencers somehow.
Exactly.
That's a whole other trend.
Like all
that's
the people
happening.
Saying, oh, I have this really vulnerable Facebook Live for you today. It makes me think, what the fuck were all the other posts that you did? Was that a bunch of sugar-coated crap for me? I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to get really authentic with you. So what? You're not normally authentic?
Yes.
Let's get real. Huh?
You guys are so much fun.
Yeah. No. Well, this is how our more ideal interviews go. I mean, they're all great. What are you talking about?
We've never had a bad interview.
Never.
Oh, never.
Bullshit. All right. So, yeah, this is amazing. And I think we can go for a lot longer, but for the sake of every one of the listeners listening.
Well, at least the competitives and the spontaneous, right? The humanistics are like, let's hang out. It's
That's
fun.
True. Yeah. We can do that.
But all the humanistics, if they go get the character diamond, then they're going to get invited to come into a little Facebook group and they can ask whatever they want. And, you know, they may have questions about putting theirs together. And I don't want to give you something and then not be able to support you in executing it. So anyone who wants to stay connected will be able to do that. So
very cool. And that's characterdiamond.com, right?
That's correct. Perfect. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. And how about Launcher? Do you want to?
Yeah, launcher.co. Mm-hmm. That's where you can find if you're looking like to have your avatar and empathy maps done by someone who's done it. For the past 10 years since I started and failed myself and figured out, oh, if you really do not know how to connect with your people, you have no business putting your products out there.
I'll vouch for you as well. And you know, we haven't worked in a professional manner like that, but you know, Travis and yourself, you guys sat my wife down and I, you know, both of us, and like I saw some of this behind the scenes stuff that you guys do. Like that's why I brought the spreadsheets, and I've seen your just the office and how you do everything. I'm like, holy shit, you're legit. And like, you know your stuff, and it's obvious you know it, but like, yeah, when I sat there, I was like, okay. So if anyone's actually serious and willing to invest because it's worth it, then definitely go Launcher. Was it launcher.co?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, and what was the book? One more time. I want to make sure that
The book. So yeah, you know what? I think it's one of those books. I forget the term, but when it's been print so long that it's free, I think you can find it for free online.
Oh wow.
But you can definitely find a reprint of it on Amazon. But it's called The Architecture of Persuasion.
By Mark
the
Ford.
Architecture of Persuasion, how to write well-constructed sales letters. And it says it's written by Michael Masterson. Mm-hmm. But for those of you who love copy and mm-hmm. and selling and all that, it's really written by Mark Ford. It's just a pen name.
I don't think Mark Ford ever put his own name on any of his books.
Well, it's weird. You know, I was just I can't remember where I was someday, but you know, obviously I've been tagged, I've been pixeled, right? And so I just got an ad for a course that was by him. And when I looked at the course, I was like, oh my God, this is like the summary of all his books. So it was not something I wanted, but I clicked on the page and saw a picture of him. I'd never seen a picture of him before. And I was like, oh, this is like seeing Yoda for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
Well, because I've read Great Leads, and I've read Ready, Fire, Aim, which are all Michael Masterson and slash Mark Ford. But,
yeah.
No, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, but cat's out of the bag anyways. I mean, thanks to the modern day Oracle of Google, like you just go to find his books and it says in the subtext, like, oh, this is actually Mark Ford.
Yeah,
so the secret's out, guy. The secret's out.
This has been super cool, Joy. Thank you very much for taking all that. Like, you just made this whole process. I can't wait to read the notes. I think they're going to be solid. Get them at the show notes. You'll love them.
Thank you very much. And reach out if you want slides on that stuff, because obviously I have them from the courses, so I'm happy to make your show notes easier if you want.
we'll include those in the show notes if you don't mind.
All right, perfect. Cool. I'll zip them over to you.
Thank you. All right, Joy, have a great one. Stay dry. It just started like lightninging really hard outside our window. That's why.
So. We all live in San Diego, for anyone who's listening to the show. And it's not the rain that's dangerous. It's the fact that San Diego people don't know how to drive in the rain. really dangerous.
Oh, it's the worst. Yeah, San Diego, we freak out if there's like a sprinkle. We're like,
Exactly.
Yeah. So I will driving today.
Thank you so much.
See you, Joy. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. And I hope you just enjoyed this episode you just listened to. Now, right now, before we sign off, I have a few things I would love for you to do. So the very first thing is to go find our guest on Facebook and tell them that you loved their episode with us. That's going to help them just feel good about themselves, but also it's going to spread the word a little bit more for us. So go find them on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. And go say that you love their episode and maybe one cool thing that you learn there. The second thing is to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Just look up Hustle and Flowchart and hit the subscribe button. And the very last thing, the third thing, is to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast and help us spread the word more. That's how more people are going to get this awesome knowledge, this cool podcast training, and a whole bunch of other cool free training that we give out at evergreenprofits.com. So that's about it. Go find them on Facebook, go subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a review. You would be amazing if you did that, but you're always amazing. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.